Hey everybody, T here. It's that time again, that time again, that time again. I don't know why I said that three times, probably because yet again, I did not pre-write this intro, but that's okay, just bear with me. I got another clip show for you. I'm super excited about it. The last one was very interesting. This one, you're going to notice a step up in quality because Mac and I, we gained our confidence and we upped our game and we did all that inspirational stuff that nobody really cares about but pretends to care about. Anyways, here's the clip show. I hope you enjoy it. I don't remember what movies this one covers, but I'm sure you'll find out soon enough. Thanks for listening. Love you all. Guys, a movie, and you guessed it, a podcast, where every week we mine the cavernous depths of Netflix to find those gems that might otherwise go unwatched, or even worse, unnoticed. My name's Tyler, you can call me T, I don't really care either way.
And I'm Malcolm, you can call me Mac, or the other guy, doesn't matter.
This week we're talking about the fundamentals of caring. This movie comes from 2016, it's a Netflix original if I'm not mistaken. It currently sits on IMDb with 46,000 votes at a 7.3 and a Metacritic score of 55. That is out of 11 critic reviews. The IMDb summary has this as a man suffering an incredible amount of loss enrolls in a class about caregiving that changes his perspective on life. That's really not a very good description of this movie.
No. But, I wouldn't say, but...
But that's where we're going because I'm too lazy to open up Netflix and look up the Netflix synopsis. You can take it or leave it. You can go find a trailer for it and get a much better idea of what this is. It stars Craig Roberts, Paul Rudd, Selena Gomez, and some other people, but they're not quite as important. So we're going to not really bother with them either. It has a runtime of 1 hour and 37 minutes. So it's a decent way to spend a Saturday afternoon or a Friday evening.
I agree.
This is Mac's pick. So, you know, he consistently brings his A game while I'm picking things like Pottersville.
We won't talk about that. But I am on a roll and I am enjoying it. I've come a long way since As Above, So Below.
I don't think I can make fun of As Above, So Below anymore. After Bird Box and Pottersville, I think you guys can all shame me. And rightly so. So, Mac, what are your thoughts on this movie?
I fairly enjoyed it. If I gave it a score myself, I'd give it a 7 out of 10. Just kind of the aspect of it I really enjoyed. We're still on the subject of, you know, helping others. We'll put it that way.
Being kind-hearted.
There you go. And also, as T knows, like my personal occupation, what I do is kind of similar, so it hit me a little harder than probably someone who isn't, but that's what I would say.
It's a pretty good score. I'm about the same. I'd say 7. I took issue with some of it. It's a little bit sweary, and had a lot of dick jokes in it. Not gonna lie, it had a lot of dick jokes. You can call me a prude if you want, but I'm just not super big on the blue humor. Just not my jam, and I get it. If it is your jam, it's just not mine. One thing the IMDb synopsis does not really detail is this is a road trip movie.
Yes.
So if you like road trip movies, then you're probably going to enjoy this one. It's pretty lighthearted. I mean, it certainly tugs at your heartstrings. There's some good dramatic moments. I was hoping for a little more drama from Paul Rudd, but... you know, we get what we get. Welcome back to Two Guys, a Movie, and a Podcast, where every week we mine the cavernous depths of Netflix to find those gems that might otherwise go unwatched or even worse, unnoticed. My name's Tyler. You can call me T. I don't really care one way or another.
And I'm Malcolm. You can call me Mac or the other guy. Doesn't matter.
This week, we are talking about Kodachrome. This is a Netflix original.
It's 1 hour, 45 minutes. It has an IMDb score of 6.8, a Metacritic score of 57. Stars Ed Harris, Jason Sudeikis, Elizabeth Olsen, and the guy from the Allstate commercials. I'm sorry I didn't look up his name, but he's in there briefly, so there's that. The Netflix synopsis is as follows. A record company exec joins his estranged dad, a famous photographer who's dying, on a road trip to the last lab still developing Kodachrome film. I gotta say, this is my pick. This is my first pick after the infamous Bird Box, the very unfortunate Pottersville. And I feel like I'm maybe I haven't redeemed myself yet, but I think I may be on the way.
We're moving on up for sure.
Moving on up. Okay. You know what? I've been talking enough. You know, this movie's going to get kind of sad, so let's go ahead and start with this. Mac, knock knock.
Who's there?
Alpaca.
Alpaca who?
Alpaca lunch. What do you want to eat?
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Fair enough.
It was good.
Okay. I just wanted you to know this isn't. We're not completely humorous.
I don't know what was more sad. But we'll let the listeners be the judge.
Oh, man. Just know that my 6-year-old daughter told me that joke. So,
oh, okay.
If you don't like it, like Mac, you're probably a horrible person.
I mean, if she told me, I would laugh.
Too late.
But
you're already a terrible person. You might as well just keep your spaghetti separate from your sauce from here on out.
Let's not get into that.
All right, let's move on. Let's move onward. Mac, what are your thoughts on Kodachrome?
I enjoyed it a lot. I really did like it. It gave me the same vibe as The Fundamentals of Caring, but it, for one, had less penis jokes. There was a lot more drama to it. And, I mean, honestly, the cast was great. Ed Harris and Jason Sudeikis, correct?
That's yes. His name.
And Elizabeth Olsen. She's not unloading clips in this movie.
Welcome back to Two Guys, a Movie, and a Podcast, where every week we mine the cavernous depths of Netflix to find those gems that might otherwise go unwatched, or even worse, unnoticed. My name's Tyler, you can call me T. I honestly don't really care one way or another.
And as always, I'm Malcolm, you can call me Mac, but it doesn't really matter. Or the other guy. I should throw that in there.
I'll probably keep calling you Mac. Although, I have to admit, Most listeners probably don't realize this. We are cousins, yes. Again, that has been well established for whatever reasons it was important. To be honest, to be fair, I think before we started doing the podcast, I think I had maybe like 5 conversations with you.
Yeah, that's pretty, maybe 4.5.
Yeah, yeah. A couple conversations might have just been, hey, what's up? And passing at like the grocery store or something. So, so when you told me that that people call you Mac, I was like, I'm gonna feel really weird calling you Mac. But,
I mean, hey.
So, I just got used to calling you Mac. So, I probably won't be calling you the other guy anytime soon.
Well, I would hope not. Like even outside of the podcast, just because we're cousins. I just don't want you to be like, hey, there's the other guy.
That does sound like fun. Next time I see you at the store, I might just be like, hey, other guy, what's up?
And only us. Like, we'll only get that reference between each other.
Well, anybody listening to this episode will get it.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, hopefully everyone.
Hopefully the entire world will get that.
Or at least the entire town of Minden.
Yes. Yes, all. What is Minden? About 3,000?
give or take, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I'd be happy with 3,000 people.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, not really going anywhere with that. So, this week we're talking about Mr. Church. This comes from 2016. It has an IMDb score of 7.6 out of about 22,000 ratings, a Metacritic score of 37 currently, and I don't know how many critics' reviews are up for that, but it's 37 on Metacritic. It has a runtime of 1 hour and 44 minutes, so it's kind of an investment in time. It stars Eddie Murphy as Henry Church, Britt Robertson as Charlie. That's older Charlie. There's two versions of Charlie in this movie. And I gotta say, I do love the name Britt. I don't know why, but I do. I think that's an awesome name.
That's just short for Brittany.
IMDb has her name listed as Britt. Okay. Not Brittany Robert.
It's the same thing, but...
Potato. Yeah. Potato.
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti. It also stars Natasha. She spells her name so freaking weird. Natasha McHallen. Natasha McElone.
Yeah, something stuck in his throat.
Natasha Mc something stuck in my throat. Xavier Samuel as Owen. Lucy Fry as Poppy. That's older Poppy. All these names will make sense to you in time, I promise. Christian Madsen as Eddie Larson, who stays the same age throughout the entire thing. McKenna Grace, Natalie Coughlin, Madison Wolf, and Lincoln Melcher. All those people also have character names, but I don't really care. Except for Natalie Coughlin, that's young Charlie. So, now we've got all that stuff out of the way. Let's get on to the important stuff. The Netflix synopsis before I forget.
Classic.
A temporary personal chef, a terminally ill single mother, and her young daughter form an unlikely bond that redefines the meaning of family. That's it. That's what Netflix says about it. It doesn't even tell me if I'll like it. It doesn't even give me a percentage. The percentages are not usually correct anyways. Netflix didn't even try.
I think mine had it at like 86%.
Okay, well.
But
you liked the movie, yeah. So.
Well, yes.
We'll get to this in time. Mac, this is your pick. What are your thoughts on this movie?
I loved it. I loved this movie. I thought I was on a... And I had seen this before it was even my pick, so... I think it went well with our theme that we had going here. With the caregiving and kind-heartedness, if that's a word. I've never seen Eddie Murphy in a movie like this. Like, it's always been something comical or really just comedy. I mean, other than that, I can't say I've seen him in anything serious. But the story I thought was good. I'm not going to lie. I did cry. I cried at the end of this movie. And all of you will find out why. But I did cry, and I had to play it off because I'm a man, and I have chest on my hair.
You have chest on your
hair? I have chest on hair on my chest. See? I have chest on my hair. Anyways, I thought it was a great movie. I'm going to give it an 8. And there's no, it's only going to go higher. I'm not going to make it go lower. So it's a solid 8. I'd even go as far as giving it a 9.
Good Lord, man.
It was a great movie.
Wow. Wow. We've got some serious talking to do tonight then, because a 9, really?
Yes. I will bump it up to a 9.
Oh, my God. You cried at this, but you didn't cry at Kodachrome?
No.
Come on, man.
No, I didn't. I don't know why.
I don't know.
It was sad. I just didn't cry, I guess.
I don't cry when bad things happen to bad actors.
Are you saying Eddie Murphy's a bad
actor? I'm not saying Eddie Murphy's spoiler a bad alert. Actor. Bad things happen to every character in this movie. Well,
some point in time.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts.
Welcome back to Two Guys, a Movie, and a Podcast, where every week we mine the cavernous depths of Netflix to find those gems that might otherwise go unwatched, or even worse, unnoticed. My name is Tyler. You can call me T. I don't really care one way or another.
And I'm Malcolm. You can call me Mac or the other guy.
This week, we are talking about a movie that is near and dear to my heart, Gone Baby Gone. This film has a runtime of 1 hour 45 minutes. Stars Casey Affleck, Michelle Monaghan, Amy Ryan, Ed Harris, and of course, how can we forget, the ever so majestic Morgan Freeman. This has a score of 7.7 on IMDb. That's out of 230,000 votes. That's actually 230,397. And a 72 on Metacritic. That's out of 34 critics' reviews. Both sources are fairly positive. 72 is actually pretty good on Metacritic.
Yeah.
As always, you got to take any user rating, whether it's Metacritic, Rotten Tomatoes, or IMDb, with just a grain of salt, because users are users. The IMDb synopsis of this film is, when a 4-year-old girl vanishes from a rough Boston neighborhood and cops offer little help, her family hires 2 private detectives to find the answers. That is the story. There's way more that comes into play as the story progresses. It's a pretty deep story, full of twists and turns. So you're gonna want to stick around, because we're gonna get into that. Mac, what are your thoughts on this one?
I did like the movie. I thought it was a bit long. I feel like it could have been shortened up just a little bit. But like you said, there is a lot of twists and turns, and I think that makes for a good movie. Honestly, you know, I like the mystery and suspense. I'll keep it at a 7, just because it was a little bit longer than I probably would have liked. But for the most part, it was a good movie. I don't know if they do this on purpose, but a lot of Boston movies have the same cast. Because the movie The Town with Ben Affleck has a lot of the same cast. And then this movie with Mark Wahlberg that recently came out, Patriots Day. Boston bombing, right. Same cast.
Did Ben Affleck direct The Town?
Possibly.
I think he might have directed The Town, and that would be part of the reason why you see a lot of the same cast. Because this, as we did not mention, is Ben Affleck's directorial debut.
Oh yes.
So when he's not murdering people in the name of justice.
Not anymore.
I really like this movie. I don't think we mentioned what year it came out. It came out in 2006. I saw it when I first saw it when it was relatively new. Maybe not 2006, but like around 2007, maybe even 2008. Just to give you a little bit of insight, this movie, I had not seen it since then, until it showed up on Netflix. And I wanted to do it for the show. But, you know, there was a good chunk of time where I hadn't watched it again.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of this movie is so haunting that it just kind of like, it would occasionally just pop into my mind at random times. And I'd just be like, oh, man.
That's very deep. Because I don't think, since I've watched it, I don't think I've thought about that really? At all.
No. Oh, man. It has stuck with me for years. It's like, well, like I said, if I watched it in 2008, it's 2019 now. For like the last 10 years, it is just such a good ending though. And we'll get into that in time too. It's got like a really gritty style to it. If you're familiar with any like David Fincher movies, like Seven, have you seen Seven?
Yes.
It kind of feels like Seven, and not just because it has Morgan Freeman in it. It kind of feels like Seven, or maybe Zodiac. It kind of feels a little, it's got like kind of a dark Zodiac kind of feel to it, or to a lesser extent, Gone Girl, if you've ever seen Gone Girl.
That was, I really liked that movie, because I didn't even know like it was based on a true story.
Gone Girl?
Yeah.
It's not a true story.
I thought it was.
Who told you it was a true story?
The news.
No. It's not a true story.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
We'll have to look it up after the show.
All right, let's look it up right now.
Here. Okay.
It is not a true story. I guarantee you it's not a true story. It is very similar to the Scott Peterson case.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Okay.
Because there's a book I have I just got from the library about Scott Peterson.
Welcome back to Two Guys, a Movie, and a Podcast, where every week we mine the cavernous depths of Netflix to find those gems that might otherwise go unwatched, or even worse, unnoticed. My name is Tyler. You can call me T. I don't really care one way or another.
And as always, I'm Malcolm. You can call me Mac, or the other guy. Doesn't matter.
This week, we are talking about The Autopsy of Jane Doe. This is Mac's pick, and it comes to us from the year 2016. A father-son team of small-town coroners performs an autopsy on an unidentified woman with mysterious injuries and a terrifying secret. It stars Emile Hirsch, Brian Cox, and Ophelia Lovibond. This has an IMDb rating of 6.8 out of 10. That's out of about 72,000 ratings, and a Metacritic score of 65. That is out of 20 critic reviews. As always, you kind of got to take the user scores for things like that, whether it's Metacritic, Rotten Tomatoes, or IMDb, with just a grain of salt, because as we all know, users are users.
True.
Let's go ahead and get into this. Did I say what the runtime for this was?
No, you did not.
It's about an hour and a half. There, I said it.
Yeah. It's pretty close.
Yeah. It might be like 129 or something. It's a good length for a horror movie. A horror movie of this type. Mac, what are your thoughts?
Well, I enjoyed it. The reason I watched it and picked is because there was a lot of hype around it. There were parts that were scary. Some of the parts just kind of dragged a little bit. Like we were talking about before the show, Brian Cox, good actor, been in some things. He was in Troy, played Agamemnon, for those of you who have seen Troy. He's in my favorite game, Manhunt. Was he in Hide and Seek with Dakota Fanning? Was that Robert De Niro? I think that was Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Let's not talk about that.
You didn't like that movie?
I did not like that movie.
Okay, I didn't either, so.
Good, we're in agreement. Starting off early with an agreement. Yeah, every time I see Brian Cox in something, I say, hey, it's that guy. Actually, I think he was in Rushmore, which is probably a movie that Mac has never seen.
You guessed it.
That's a Wes Anderson thing from like late 90s, maybe early 2000s, probably late 90s. Starred Jason Schwartzman and Bill Murray.
He was in The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville.
That is one Brian Cox role that I will probably never see. I have no interest in The Ringer. None whatsoever. I turned the lights off. I plugged in the headphones. Watched this movie. The audio design is really, really good and really worth using your headphones.
Mm-hmm.
The camera work is awesome in here. It's almost always moving. It's never moving in like a weird shaky way. It moves almost dreamlike. In fact, the movie opens up with the camera upside down and kind of spiraling very slowly to be right side up. This movie is all about spirits and ghostly things. So it kind of feels like you're on the outside looking in, like maybe you're the spirit that's wandering the halls of this morgue or funeral home. I think that worked really well. It's probably 90% of the shots in this movie. It had some cool scares, had some cool moments. It did make me jump a little bit a couple of times. It is a ghost story, though. It's kind of a haunted house story, and those always get me. So you add that to watching it late at night with the headphones on with excellent sound, and you got yourself a pretty solid time if you're looking for that kind of atmosphere.
Right.
The acting, Brian Cox is awesome. Brian Cox is very oftentimes the best part of anything that he is in.
Except the Ringer, obviously.
I wouldn't know, and I will probably never know. Emil Hirsch is... I just don't think Emil Hirsch is a good actor. I haven't seen him in a whole lot of things, and maybe it's just this one thing that I don't think he's good in, but he's my least favorite part of this movie. I feel like he was kind of stiff, like he didn't know his dialogue very well. Like it just sounded... Just wasn't my jam.
Wasn't digging it.
I don't know if I'd want to dig anything in this movie after that, after seeing this. But Ophelia Lovibond, gosh, that's such a weird name. Lovibond. Sounds like some sort of weird sex toy. I think I'll keep that in here anyways. Yeah, she was okay. She's in it for like 5 minutes. maybe, if that.
That's funny.
The guy that plays the sheriff, I guess, is okay. He's in it for maybe 2 minutes, if that. My score for this, not quite as favorable as Matt, as Mac, not Matt. I'm not doing a podcast with Matt. I gave it a 5. I probably wouldn't recommend it to most people. If you're looking for a ghost story, I'd probably point you somewhere else. I'd probably point you to maybe a few episodes of Haunting of Hill House.
That was a great show.
Or
and with my my score, it's not a high 6. It's not the 6.8. It's more of like a 6.1. So, I mean, I'd even be willing to go down to a 5 because, it wasn't the greatest thing. And like T said, like some of the scares were cool, but just a lot of hype built around it, which I've made that mistake once.
I like how you rate movies like you're negotiating. Like, you did that with Mr. Church, too. You're like, I'm calling it an 8. I'd be willing to make it go to a 9. It's like, we're not negotiating. If you want this movie to be a 5, you can call it a 5. No judgments. You can call it a 6. I personally just call it a 5. No negotiating. I call it a 5. Most of my reasoning behind giving it a 5 is because the first half of the movie is, as the title would suggest, a freaking autopsy. Welcome back to Two Guys, a Movie, and a Podcast, where every week we mine the cavernous depths of Netflix to find those gems that might otherwise go unwatched, or even worse, unnoticed. My name's Tyler. You can call me T. I don't really care one way or another.
As always, I'm Malcolm. You can call me Mac or the other guy.
This week, we're talking about Netflix original Paddleton. This comes to us from the year 2019, has a IMDb rating of 7.2 currently. That's all subject to change, of course. By the time you listen to this, that score could change, as always. Same goes for Metacritic. When I watched it, the Metacritic score was 69 out of 15 critic reviews, and now it currently sits at 70 with 17 critic reviews. Has a runtime of 1 hour and 29 minutes, if I hadn't mentioned that already, and the Netflix synopsis is as follows. After he's diagnosed with terminal cancer, middle-aged Michael asks his neighbor friend Andy to help him end his life before the disease does. This stars Mark Duplass and Ray Romano, and it's got very, 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 very few other characters. So
2, really.
It's got a pharmacist and a hostess at a
motel.
At a motel thing. I guess there's a doctor in there too at one point. The very beginning.
Oh yeah.
All right. All right. This is my pick, but we're gonna go ahead and let Mac talk for a minute or two because I've been going long enough. Mac, what are your thoughts on this movie?
Well, for starters, I'm not the biggest Ray Romano fan. When I saw that it starred him, I was like, ugh, yuck. But no, it was a good movie, a good watch. I think it kind of sits in one of those maybe Sunday morning, really don't have anything to do, kind of relax and watch this movie. Not that it's like a uplifting movie by any means, especially with it being only, you know, an hour and a half. But it was pretty good. I will give it a... I'll give it a 7. 7 out of 10.
Wow. For somebody that doesn't like Ray Romano, that's a pretty favorable score.
He did pretty well.
All right. What about Mark Duplass? Have you ever seen him in anything?
Yes, I have. Now that you put me on the spotlight, I can't think of anything. But I know I have seen him in some movies that I fairly enjoy.
Have you ever seen Creep?
No.
That's one to kind of keep an eye out for. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. It used to be. That's a found footage movie that's... I take issue with some of it, but it's well worth your time. It's a bizarre, unique movie, to say the least. Yeah. Well, that's so weird that you gave it a 7?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. Because I love Ray Romano. I'm a huge Ray Romano fan. And I like Mark Duplass a lot, but I give it a 5.
That's what I mean. I won't argue that. I won't negotiate with you on that one.
It's an okay movie. I don't know if I would really recommend it to anybody. I don't really know who exactly this movie's for. Most people, when they think Ray Romano, like the first thing people go to is Everybody Loves Raymond. And then maybe after that, they go to Manny the Woolly Mammoth from Ice Age movies.
Yeah.
And then after that, they don't really go anywhere. Because he's not super known for his dramatic roles.
Well, he was in The Big Sick.
Yes, yes.
Which I thought he did. I mean, yeah, all right.
He was probably my favorite part of The Big Sick. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, people don't look to him for dramatic roles, but I absolutely love him. I probably like him more when he's doing dramatic stuff than I do when he's doing.
And that's what I was kind of thinking before when I was watching it, is that I would prefer him. Do more dramatic roles rather than Everybody Loves Raymond or, you know,
right?
Ice Age. So,
welcome back to Two Guys, a Movie, and a Podcast, where every week we mine the cavernous depths of Netflix to find those gems that might otherwise go unwatched, or even worse, unnoticed. My name is Tyler. You can call me T. I don't really care what you call me.
And as always, I'm Malcolm. You can call me Mac or the other guy.
This week, we're talking about Zodiac. This film comes to us from 2007 and is based on real events. This chilling drama recounts the actions of a killer who stalked the streets of San Francisco and left clues in the newspaper. It stars Mark Ruffalo, Jake Gyllenhaal, Robert Downey Jr., and is directed by the one and only David Fincher. It has an IMDb score of 7.7, a Metacritic score of 78, and if I hadn't mentioned it before, it's got a runtime of 2 hours and 37 minutes. This is a long movie, so it has potential to be a very long episode. We're going to try to stay on track as much as we can. It will more than likely be split into multiple parts. Spoiler-free, spoiler-filled part 1, spoiler-filled part 2, possibly spoiler-filled part 3. We'll just have to see how it goes. You're probably tired of listening to me talk right now. Everyone, let's flip it over to Mac, because we all know you're his favorite. At least we all know that he's Susan McMahon's. Is it McMahon?
McMartin.
McMartin. See, I don't
That's
even remember
why
now.
You're not her favorite.
Anyways, we all know he's Susan McMartin's favorite. Mac, what are your thoughts on The Zodiac?
Well, let me start by saying I love The Zodiac. That makes me sound like a psychopath. Maybe. Every time I watch it, I can't watch it at night, honestly. I really can't, because especially now in my new home with some of the windows being open, like I just feel like someone's just looking through. But like we're kind of disgusting. We're kind of disgusting, guys. Discussing before the show, like some things are depicted, you know, obviously differently than they happen. But I enjoyed it. I love it. It's one of my favorite movies for sure. One of my favorite Mark Ruffalo movies. I wasn't a big fan of Shutter Island. I mean, obviously, he plays the Hulk now, you know, all that. But I don't think I've seen him in anything else.
I know I've seen him in other things. I can't think of what they are off the top of my head.
Exactly.
But I do like Mark Ruffalo.
And Jake Gyllenhaal. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I have a theory that if you take every Shia LaBeouf movie and put Jake Gyllenhaal and vice versa, it would work perfectly.
I do not agree with that one.
Why?
You're telling me that like a young Jake Gyllenhaal could star in Holes?
Yes, absolutely.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
When I was in college, my college-aged girlfriend used to watch a lot of the Disney Channel.
Mm-hmm.
She had a thing for like what do you call like the tween shows?
Okay.
So like a lot of Hilary Duff shows, mm-hmm, and movies and stuff like that. She really enjoyed Even Stevens, which I believe was where Shia LaBeouf got his start.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot see Jake Gyllenhaal being that goofy little Shia LaBeouf guy.
It's a stretch. But anyways, I'm going to give it a 7. No negotiating.
No negotiating.
It's a 7.
I thought for sure that you were going to give it a 10.
No.
You're like, yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite movies. And then we sit down, you're like telling me your theory, like theories that you've heard of and things that you like about it. And
I can't give it a 10. And then you're like,
it's like, 7.
Like, it's not on the level of Mr. Church.
Is anything, though?
No.
I mean, isn't anything. That really surprises me. I really thought you were going to go higher. I was like, I've been practicing in my head.
What you were going to respond.
What I was going to respond to when you said 10.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not a perfect movie. Like.
Wow, here we are at the end of this week's clip show. Can you believe it? Wow, that was some crazy discussions we had. I can't believe I said that thing about that movie, and then Max said that thing about that other movie, and then we were both like, oh my God, what about this? Okay, I am clearly recording this before I've actually put the clip show together, but I feel like we need some closure for each week. I feel like I owe you some closure. You deserve closure because I love you. It's a little bit sappy. You know what? Just forget I said that. And whatever. I'll catch you next time. Dance down.